Welcome to Nightlight. Step away from the mainstream and gather around as we enlighten the world around us and travel this cosmic journey we call life. Join us as we share with you and provide that beacon that can guide us all to a better way. Nightlight, a reminder that you are never alone. And now your host, internationally renowned spiritual intuit, medium, channel, author, artist, lecturer, ordained minister, and good all-around girl, Ms. Barbara DeLong.
We have liftoff. So, hi everyone, and welcome to Nightlight. That was the magical voice of Ken Quiet Hawk inviting you to come in out of the mainstream and join with us for a time to be sheltered from the storms of evolution and change, that which we laughingly call creation. Come and join in with our other light-minded spirits as we weave our lights together to seek understanding, enlightenment, and hopefully wisdom. These are times of change, times that call to the seekers, and you answer that call from all walks of life, from countless aspects of the spiritual realms. This is a time of awakening, of sharing and evolving, of spreading your wings and soaring on the cosmic breath of creation. We all come from different backgrounds and modalities from all walks of life, and yet there is a synchronicity, a commonality that draws and blends us together, weaving us once more into a collective purpose, a common direction, and a united family once again. We go by different titles, labels, names, if you will. We call ourselves watchers, wardens, indigos, soothsayers, mystics, questers, querents, journeyers, light workers, light bearers, spiritual empaths, spiritual intuitives. Anyhow, and that list, it goes on and on and on and on. It is as unique and eclectic as are we. Yet we all have the same spiritual calling, and we all, in our own very individual ways, bring light into this reality to facilitate the awakening and shifting of consciousness for all of mankind. This is my own very private oasis in the turmoil we call evolution, so sit back, take a break, share your lights with us, and join in the love, the light, and the laughter that spiritual energy always generates when lights are blended and spirits are lifted. I'm Barb DeLong, your host, and along with Jeannie and Jen Young, today we welcome you in and hope you'll add your lights to ours to increase the energy and brighten all of our own personal lights. We are going to be doing readings shortly, and if you would like to call in for one, the number is 347-857-2139. Don't wait too long. It fills up fast. Jeannie's in the chat room today, so if you have any questions, she's the one you aim at. She's me as co-host. And if you do IM me, I promise you I won't respond because I don't usually look to see what's coming in at me. Excuse me. Ken Quiet Hawk can be found at nativestorytellers.com if you want to learn more about that amazing voice and man. I'm at barbaradelong.com, and Jen Young, I understand, actually has contact information, and hopefully she'll share it with us when I pull her on. Before we get involved in the readings, though, I want to share with you some of the very special shows that I highly recommend to those that are seeking spiritual surroundings, insight, and wisdom. With so many shows on BTR, sometimes it's hard to decide where you want to invest your time and energy, and these are shows that I love and frequent, often because of the quality of the material and the people and the spiritual energy that they radiate. Monday through Thursday, on the Wolf and the Bear Network, you'll find the most magical way for starting your day. Pardon me. With Morning Blessings with Bear Medicine Walker. That's at 10 a.m. Eastern Time. Also on the Wolf and the Bear, on Wednesdays and Fridays, are Visionary Times with Bear Medicine Walker and the Reverend Ann Rose at 1 p.m. Eastern Time. I sometimes visit on that show as well. They have amazingly phenomenal people there. It's a plethora of spiritual wisdom and insight. It's a buffet of spiritual insights and practices. It's a cool place to visit. Also on the Bear and the Wolf and the Bear Network on Tuesdays at 8 p.m., Ken Quiet Hawk has his Hawk's Nest, and that's a trip down memory lane that is totally addictive if you love the early radio shows of the past, as do I. It is addictive. I swear to you, it's very addictive, so be careful what you invest yourself in because you'll find yourself a lifetime member of that particular show. His partner, Deborah New Moon Rising, has her show on Tuesdays as well, and that's On My Mind with Mama Moon. That's at 1 p.m. on Tuesdays. And then every night from 10 to 12 Eastern is Curious Times with Chris, a great place to unwind, decompress, or decompose, whichever you feel like doing, with other light-minded folk, and just let your hair down. I guarantee you, you'll never be bored. There's always a surprise at that hour of the night. And she has unique and unusual and wonderful guests. I do Sunday night. And she manages to find new people all the time. So it is, you know, it's a terrific pleasure to see just what she can scrape up. Oh, I don't mean it that way. I mean how many wonderful new people she can bring in because finding people is an art for her. She finds them in the most unusual places. And she does provide platforms for people who are new to the field to sort of spread their wings in a very safe environment. So she has open mic night. So it's a lot of fun to go and sit and listen to people who are just coming into their own. And you may even catch the next Edgar Casey before they get famous there. So you never know. I would definitely recommend that you check that one out. Now, my guest today, Jen Young, is a Canadian, and you'll figure that out real fast after she opens her mouth. She is a very spiritual and uniquely spiritual person. She lives in the woods, and she hugs trees, and she talks to the birds, and she has an amazingly lovely talent and gift of being able to tune into really what it is you really need to hear. She has a gentle nature, a gentle tone, but don't let that fool you. She can give you unbelievable, magical, phenomenal information. And she is definitely a gift to all of those in the field because she actually spreads warmth and love, happiness and joy wherever she goes. She's a joy to be around and to have as a guest on the show. So I will see if I can. Did you find the Skype button okay?
I did find it.
Oh, good. Jeannie sent me a message, said, Jen can't find the Skype button. There's no Skype button. People can't get in. And all I could think of was, oh, my, this is going to be an interesting show. I've had a number of those.
And it didn't turn up. And I thought, what's going on? And it said, you know, it's waiting for host, and I couldn't hear you. And I thought, this is not going like it's supposed to. What am I going to do? But it all worked out, and I unplugged my phone because when last time the phone had rang, and I'm trying to quiet the phone, and then when I was doing a show with Chris, the dog started barking, and I thought, oh, my world. You know, this is just unbelievable. And I thought, no, I'm going to be really prepared today and get it all set up, and then I couldn't find
it. I know the feeling. I couldn't figure out why my phone wasn't working. I had my headset on, and I was dialing like crazy, and nothing was happening. It works so much better if you plug it in. You know, sometimes you do things on automatic that you know, you don't pay any attention to, and then suddenly when they're not working, it's like, holy crap, what's going on?
Automatic pilot. That's funny. I put some rice on last night for my family's dinner, while my husband and my son, and we have a rice cooker, and he said, oh, is it ready? And I said, I don't know. I said, the button has to be down or up. And he goes, did you put water in the pot?
Okie doke.
I said, I guess I didn't.
No.
I said,
yeah, I I put food in the microwave the other day, and I kept waiting and waiting and waiting for the ding, and it never came. And all I could think of is, I mean, that's just got to be nuked out of sight now. It's probably just a piece of leather. And I went, and you have to hit start in order for it to work.
It's I think it's because we're so busy listening to I don't know, those around us. And I was trying to explain it to someone. I said, you're the kid on the bus, and you're sitting by yourself, and you're still talking to those people around you that no one else can see, and people are, even way back then, you're the weird kid on the bus because you're talking to you're talking to yourself, but you don't think you're talking to yourself. You're having a great conversation.
Well, you know,
so that's,
now that,
that's what I just put it down to. We've got a lot going on.
Oh yeah. Well, now that it's in the 50s and 60s here, I'm out in the garden a lot, and I always talk to the little people, and I always, say, didn't I plant such and such here? Where the hell is it? And my cleaning lady came by and she said, are you talking to spirits or to yourself? And I said, which is crazier? And she said, I'll have to think about that. And I said, well, when you tell me which one is the better, I'll tell you what I'm doing. Because she didn't believe in spirits at all until she started working here. And I told her there was a spirit cat here, a Smudge is here, and he's a gray cat. And I don't have a gray cat in physical. And she said, yeah, right. And I said, you'll see him. He'll just sit and look at you, or he'll rub up against you. And she said, oh, sure. And it was maybe 3 or 4 weeks later, she came to me with huge eyes, and she said, Smudge was all solid gray. I showed her a picture. She said, yeah, that's the cat that was talking to me upstairs. I said, yeah, that's Smudge. She said, was I talking to a ghost? And I said, no, you're talking to a spirit cat, not a ghost. And she said, okay, well, so long as it wasn't a ghost. And now she tells everybody that, she cleans the house, that there's a spirit cat in it, but it's not a ghost. And I finally pulled her aside. I said, spirits and ghosts are interchangeable, so let's not say it that way anymore. She said, is the house haunted? And I said, it's not haunted. Of course it's not haunted. But she tells everybody about this spirit cat that she sees and talks to, and she says, Barb says she has 8 cats, but there's really a 9th cat because this spirit cat is there.
It's just lived in.
It is. It's very comfortable. Have you been noticing how weird the energy is out there?
Yes, I have been. It is, it's weird. It's, I don't know, what is that? Hang on.
Mm-hmm.
It's discombobulated, weird. The sun is shining today. We've got this incredible hot weather coming, and I'm so excited by it, of course, because as you said, I live in the woods, and I was listening. The eagles were out today, and the way they talk is just so incredible and fulfilling. And so I was listening to them, and I thought I'd keep the door open and just let them fill the house with their talking. And now I hear this weird, weird noise, whatever. But no, the energy, I don't know what it is. I was listening to you last night on Chris's show, Curious Times.
Uh-huh.
And I do try and catch you whenever I can. You've been so very supportive of the work I do. You've made me jump out of my comfortable little closet, and you were nice, and you've teased me so much about getting
no.
You know what I'm going to say before I say it about my website, and I'm working on a website. My cousin is a fantastic graphic artist, and unfortunately, he can't help me at this time. But, fortunate for him, he's extremely busy. Mm-hmm. And, but, you know, I went to type all this on my blog site, and I get it all worded in my head, and I go to sit down and type it, and it's gone, and I thought, darn it. Now I don't know how to say it. And I just laugh to myself because I think, oh, Barbara's going to know anyhow. She's going to be sitting there snickering, watching me try and phrase this all.
This is one of the more unusual time frames that I've lived through. And I know it's a cycle, and I must have been through it before, but I wasn't paying attention before. Just about everybody I know in the spiritual field, and that's broad spectrum spiritual, you know, not a practicing psycho, but just in the spirit, it even would include Chris, because she is in the spiritual field, even though she's life coaching spiritually speaking. But anyhow, everybody in this field who has an awareness to a certain degree of spiritual energy and how it works and how we have to kind of go with the flow and let spirit direct us and everything, just about all of us are getting an amazing message of some sort, like screeching halt, pay attention, you may be going in a direction that you don't want to go in and you may need to adjust it slightly. And I am talking 15, 20 people I can just tick off on my hand just right now who have had, you know, I certainly with my back and that infection I had to shift and change how I organized my time, how I, you know, what it was I was putting my energy into and, you know, got a different balance into my life. And as soon as that happened, let me tell you, the pain went away and to a certain degree. And not all the way, because I know the universe does not trust me. I know that if I know that if suddenly I'm all better and everything's fine, that I would probably go right back to the same pattern, which is not a good idea. And so now that I sort of have a different agenda, things are getting better. So if you find yourself stumbling, if you find yourself, you know, kind of being held in place for a while, it's really important to take a look at how you are spiritually arranging things in your life, that maybe there are other directions that you need to go into or other things that you need to look at instead of what you thought you needed to do.
Oh, you are so funny. I when you said that, you know, I've been going on these long walks, and I've had to get out and change my way of thinking. And it's funny how we do that. You know, the spring comes and we can finally get out and start enjoying nature and whatever. And I think most of us are very familiar with Charlie Brown and Lucy and how she whips the football away and he goes flying in the air. Well, the other day I was going for my walk, and my feet went flying out from under me, and I flew in the air, and I did a couple of spins, and I went plunk, and I sort of went, ugh, you know, the big thud, and I lay there, and my dogs came and looked at me, and my husband was with us, and he turned around, and he said, "Did you just fall?" And I said, "Yeah," and I started laughing. Because, of course, it was funny. And I thought, boy, am I being ever told in a very firm way, watch your path.
Yeah.
You know, in more ways than one. You know?
Yes. Metaphorically and, you know, realistically.
Yeah.
And it's not that we're, and this is my theory on it. I mean, I know everybody has to look at it, but my thought is, a lot of us got very comfortable with the routine and so comfortable with the routine that we weren't allowing ourselves to go, you know, out of the box and a little in other directions or anything like that. We were basically just stuck in a rut and, you know, the rut worked. The rut was very successful.
It's true.
But you know, we have to be able to be adaptable and we have to be able to sort of flow with the times and move with the whatever. And so I'm finding that, I mean, I know that I was supposed to be, I'm supposed to be doing more writing than I'm doing, but I'm not yet. I mean, I'm going to. My schedule is changing.
I like the way you said that very quickly.
Yeah, no, I know what I'm supposed to be doing. I just can't quite get there yet. And you know, anybody who writes knows that there is a zone you have to be in. You can't just sit down and suddenly it all bubbles out of you. I mean, there is a place inside your head you have to be. And, you know, Ernest Hemingway, his way of writing, he stood at a typewriter. He had his typewriter on his dresser, and he stood at the typewriter for 12 hours a day. Even when he had nothing to say, he stood at the typewriter. That was his process. Of course, he also committed suicide. So, you know, maybe that's not the best way to do it. But it did work for him.
You know, it's funny that the last few days, the shows I've been listening to, the topic of committing suicide has come up prevalently. That subject is very upfront and close to me. My brother committed suicide. Another family member has recently tried to do it. I don't know if it was intentional. I don't know that it was an act of taking her life. I know she was on prescription drugs. And, I mean, we look at the, you know, it's laughable when you look at all the advertisements for drugs, you know, and the side effects of them. And it's like, you know, the side effects of this are this, you know, swelling tongue and asphyxiation and whatever else. And that was my first thought, was that, gee, is this one of the side effects? And I have researched it, of course, and it is one of the major side effects of it. And I thought, you know, my God. And then I listened to you last night and what you were describing being the essence of love.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That resonates. Whatever else, it resonated so deeply. And I thought, I get it. I absolutely get it. And, you know, I don't understand some of it, and I probably never will. And that's okay. You know, I totally get that. But, it's just been up front and center and whatever this week or the last couple of weeks. And so, like you say, it is the energy around us.
It's, you know, normally there are two windows during the year where the veil thins tremendously. And one of them is, you know, between Thanksgiving and New Year's, and the other is this time frame that we're in right now. And I'm not sure exactly how to explain it other than that those two periods, for some reason, the veil thins. And people who are ready to go almost in crowds. It's almost like they send a bus. And, you know, rather than everybody just taking off on their own, there's a transport that comes. And it's sort of like it's so much easier to pass over during this time frame than at other periods of time. And I would think that probably you would have the suicides being in there as well. I mean, I'm sure there are suicides, you know, in every time frame, but this late April through June is one of those times where people just sort of take their last breaths and they fly away. And, you know, what I love is in the Bible only describes death once. And what it says, I will paraphrase it. It says you live, you know, 50, 60 years, and you toil and you work hard and you suffer with whatever life gives you. And then you die. And the next line is, and then you fly away. And it's exactly what it says in the Bible. And then you fly away. So that in essence, you know, even in the Bible, it's saying we fly. We move out of our bodies and we fly. We are set loose from the physical anchor that has bound us to the earth plane, and we fly. And everyone that Patrick and I talked about when we interviewed people that had experienced near-death experiences, everyone said, you know, flying was just so phenomenal. It was just... it was exciting, and it was not scary, because it was almost as though we'd done it all of our lives. And I think as spirits, we have always flown. So that mm-hmm. being in a physical body, you know, we've been kind of dumbed down to a certain extent. But lots of people dream of flying. Lots of people feel that sensation of being weightless. And then, of course, when they go out of body and then they get jerked back in, it's that, when laying in bed, you feel like you've fallen and you catch yourself. That's your spirit coming back into your body. That's the snap back into the physical reality. And everyone has felt that, just about everyone. So you know, I think we are familiar with flight. We just don't remember it. But the thought of flying, you know, that's cool. And lots of people do dream about it. Not like Superman, of course, not a great big cape and stuff like that, but just being able to float and move in the direction we want to move in. And when we do distant viewing and when we do out-of-body experiences, you know, we're flying. Our spirit has taken flight yet again. So it is kind of a sensation that we have access to if we pay attention.
Oh, I agree. I know I've done it. I've done, you know, remote viewing. I've experienced, you know, floating, flying, whatever. It's the most incredible out-of-body astral traveling. Who doesn't love doing that? You know,
oh, yeah.
if you've experienced it, then who really doesn't love doing that? That is, to me, one of the most extraordinary things, experiences we can ever do. I put it on par, and I've written about it actually, on par with learning to float when you were a kid, learning how to swim. You know, you lie on your back, and then all of a sudden you're floating, and it's like, oh, you know, I'm weightless, I'm floating, this is just fantastic. And there was nothing like that experience, you know. And then, of course, we experience more once we start working within ourselves and with ourselves.
But, you know, if you stop and think about it, our body, just maneuvering a cat. When we come into this reality, we are floating in amniotic fluid. We are weightless, so that sense of flight and weightlessness is something that our fetus grows in until the moment of birth. And then suddenly, you know, of course babies cry, they're horrified at the reality they've come into.
Yeah, no wonder why I was called Screaming Jenny. No. No.
Could be. But, you know, you mentioned something about writing and I think that all of us have, you know, amazing material inside of us that you know, is from spirit. And all of us have a master spirit inside of us, and all of us have that wisdom inside of us if only we reach for it. And it's a matter of kind of getting to that creative space zone, whatever you want to call it, so that things will flow for you. But before I go any further, what is your blog's address so that we can put it out there in the chat room?
Oh, now I'm going to get kicked.
www.jenyoungsite.blogspot.com.
So I have to thank my intrepid worker, Carrie, for helping me with that, because she's She's put it in the chat room for helping me with that. I've got a dog howling behind me. I don't know why he's howling, but so thank you, Carrie. You're absolutely. The people on Blog Talk are just incredible. They'd heard you teasing me, and they jumped forward and said, "I will help you with this." And I was just in awe and so grateful that all these, I'm going to get a bit verklempt, that they're just like, welcome, 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 and we can help you. And
yeah.
I'm like, oh my goodness, this is just, wow. And because I've tried, you know, and I can write and I can do all these other things, but trying to be creative in that way is, it's like I'm in mud. I'm walking through mud, and, you know, I'm really not that
out. Technology is scary. It's very scary. But you know, I think the thing that surprises me the most about Blog Talk Radio is that while I've been in it for, I don't know, 5 or 7 years in there someplace. And I talk to psychics, you know, all the time, and they say, what? This appears to be a very well-kept secret. There's so many people out there that have never heard of Blog Talk Radio, and I can't believe that people haven't heard about it because, of course, you know, I spend so much time here, and I usually am the last person to discover something new. I can almost guarantee you that if I have just discovered something, it's almost about to become obsolete. So,
well, I knew about Blog Talk Radio. I knew about one show. And, of course, we know different shows. I was so thankful that I discovered you, that we'd started talking. Chris, you know, I keep going back to listening to you. You are one of the people that really don't, and I'll say this to anybody, like phone in, talk to me, do whatever, you really don't have an ego. You totally work from and with spirit. It is so incredibly easy to work with you and someone like Chris, someone like Ray.
Oh,
but
yeah.
There is no egos working, and it is such a pleasure. You just go and work, and to me it's not work. And that is such, you know what, I guess, you know, that you know, work is, it's such a funny word.
Well, you know, my philosophy is, you know, can I do the show by myself? Of course I can. But, you know, when I have somebody else on, it's sort of like I get to provide a stage and a spotlight for them. And you know, if they don't shine, it's my fault. So, you know, it's just such an honor to have people like you, like Ray, like Sarah May. I mean, to come onto the show and to be able to work with you guys and just, you know, give you guys the opportunity to sort of touch into another section of the population and stuff like that. It's an honor. And, you know, it's not work, it's play. I play with you guys. If this was work, I would not do it.
Yeah, it's like having a great, you know, you put time aside and
it's a play date.
Having a great time. Yeah, it's a play date. That's exactly what it is. It's having time to go and have a great play date with someone. And that's,
but
to
it's also a place to hone your talents and skills. And when you're working with someone else, you have access to more than double the energy, so it makes you better. So working with you and Ray and Chris and working with all of the people that I've had the honor to work with has made me better and hopefully them as well, because, you know, you're drawing on a combined energy. You're drawing on, you know, everybody's putting 110% in, and that means, holy cow, that's a powerful tool. Let's just, you know, see what we can draw from it and see what we can do with it. And but you can't have an ego. If you have an ego when you do that, then you are looking at how much they're putting in, how much you're putting in, and, you know, and then suddenly there's a contest, and then everything goes to pot and it doesn't work. It's not a contest. It's a cooperative effort. And if it is totally a cooperative effort, it just doesn't work. And I've heard shows where it doesn't work, where the show host, you know, has to pop in and you know, put their two cents in on everything and sort of, you know, monopolize the conversation. I've heard show hosts that I've been a guest on, and every 5 minutes they're giving an ad for something they're doing, and, you know, which is, you know, why do you bother having a guest if all you want to do is run an ad for, you know, your whatevers? So, but there are... Yeah, and you know, I don't think I would return to that show because, you know, I would say a sentence and he'd say, and now I want to dip at www.com, and it was like, and then what, Barbara? And now I kept losing my space, so forget it, you know. But yeah, ego, and Chris is saying you have to have an ego. And yes, we have an ego, but this kind of a play date has no room for an ego in it. I'm not trying to better you. You're not trying to better me. We're trying to do the best we can for whoever calls in. And that's what we're doing. And you know, it you give it the message, I give the message. You give something they can't relate to, and I can clarify, I clarify it. It's that easy.
Yeah, no, so, I quite agree. I think it's great. And, yeah, everybody has an ego. If we didn't, we'd be, you know.
Yeah.
Cabbages,
oh, yeah.
I guess. I don't know.
I have a healthy ego, I think. I just don't bring it to the show. And when I'm reading especially, I send it out to lunch. My ego goes out a lot. But we have quite a few people here. And, you know, if you want to call in. There is still room in the queue. And we will get to the people that have called in, and then we will continue to talk. Maybe we'll get a chance to talk. How cool would that be? We've got Melvin here. Hi, Melvin. How's it going today?
Hi. Thank you. It's going okay, I guess. Yes, ma'am. Thank you all for taking my call.
Our pleasure. How can we help?
Yes, ma'am. I want to ask about a job. I'm calling from Georgia, and I was working at this mental hospital, Benna, and they closed it. They closed down.
Right.
And about 800 or some employees is out of work, and I'm one of them. But I've been putting resumes, applications, cover letters, everything, what I could do. And I just want to know when you all see me getting employment. And because I'm having some trouble also with my unemployment. I was on unemployment and receiving it. And this is my third week I haven't received it yet. So I contacted the people about it, and the lady thought I had a job, but I wish I did, but I don't have one.
Mm-hmm.
So I got to go back in and redo it again, and I tried to, but I can't get through on the website. So I just want to know, like, is they going to reinstate me my unemployment benefits, and will I find a job anytime soon?
Well, yes, they will reinstate it.
Mm-hmm.
But the red tape is just a killer here. Are you open to moving at all?
Well, I did get a job offer out of town, which I just came from Columbus yesterday at a mental hospital there. I'm open to moving, yes, but I won't move if it's not the correct, you know, the salary that, you know, to help, you know, where I could be comfortable.
Oh, no, absolutely. I'm seeing that a move is going to be required here for you to find a job. And I am feeling that by August you will have moved and you will have another job. I don't know if it's the one you just looked at, but I do feel that a move is going to be necessary. Jen, what are you getting?
Well, I'm actually getting the same as Barbara. I see water flowing. So, and it's like a big dam has broken. So, pardon me. What I feel is going to happen is that whatever's stopped you from receiving money, that's going to break, and money's going to start flowing in. But like Barbara said, there's going to have to be some red tape or whatever's stopping is going to happen. It's going to break, and you're going to have to go through the dam to get to the end result. I do see a road that you're going to have to travel down to get to a new job and a new employment. You're going to have to persevere for a few months before that happens. You're also going to find a new place of residence. I don't know how far that will be from where you are now. And I'm getting like country living. So I don't know if you're in a city or in the outskirts of a city. But I feel that it's going to be in another county. Mm.
Yes. Because I also applied for a job about maybe 30 miles away from here, and it's a southern type town, and it's another hospital as well. And I would love to get that job or do something else, because I am a football coach as well, so I don't know if I could maybe get a coaching job. I'm not sure, but I'm open for moving, but I just, you know, I got to be able to at least get some more income until those transformation take place.
Yeah. Well, the unemployment's going to come through for you. So you'll have that coming in. I really believe there's a move. And I really believe that once you move that and settle in, that there will be a job for coaching for you as well.
Really?
You know, in the town that you're living in now, like you said, 800 people got let go, and some of those people don't have the flexibility you do. Some of those people really can't move, but you can. And I do see you moving, and I think it would be fabulous for you. I really do. But certainly don't move before you have a job. Wait till you get a job before you make a move. Because do hold out for the pay scale that will allow you to be comfortable.
Yeah.
Do you know that that song by The Wiz, or it was from the show The Wiz, Move On Down the Road?
Yes,
we're going to move on down the road. I think Michael Jackson did it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. That's what I'm getting for you.
Move on down the road.
Yeah.
In the type job, will it be something in the frame of what I've been applying for, or what? Will it be in the medical field, or will it be in coaching? Definitely, that's what I really want to do, because I'm trying to finish up my college degree, because I only have like 8 classes remaining before I get my bachelor's degree in middle grade education. But I have coached without a degree, but it's good to have it where they won't just fire you and say, we don't need you anymore. So I love working with young kids. That's my passion, my calling on this earth, to work with young kids on and off the football field, and that's what I really love to do. I just happen to get a job because I need to pay my bills in the medical field. So,
I think it's going to be in the medical field for now, but I think given 5 years, you'll probably be able to move more into your passion. But you know, you have some work to do before that happens.
Okay. Yeah, is there a time frame on my unemployment benefits to be reinstated back on my card?
June. June is what I'm getting.
No,
what do you? Well, wait. Maybe Jen gets something earlier. Wait a minute, Jen. What are you getting?
I don't know how your unemployment works there. When did you last get your check?
My last check was April 8th.
And they said that you, and they cut you off because they thought you were working?
Yes,
and you
ma'am.
Have to reapply?
Yes, ma'am.
And that's have you reapplied?
Me. Yes, ma'am, but I didn't finish completely with my application because the fact that they said something about my account was suspended, and I have to go to my local unemployment office to get it reinstated. But I called the people in Atlanta, and the lady told me on the phone, say, look, just go in, reapply, just like you did in the beginning when you was getting your unemployment, and she'll take it from there. And so I tried to do that, but it won't let me enter my PIN to finish up the application.
Then I think you're going to have to go right into an office, aren't you?
Yes, ma'am. I'm going to go to the office here where I live in the morning and talk to this lady named Treva because she's the one that really can take the block off my unemployment account.
Yeah.
And I don't know why she's, like, flip-flapping with me, calling Atlanta or, either, you know, giving me the run around here because I'm not working. The place that I was applied for a job, I only had an orientation for 5 hours. And I didn't know, I told them, I wrote a letter, I didn't know that I was going to get paid for those 5 hours, only $33. But the people there called, you know, and told them that I was employed with them. And I never worked there a day in my life because of the fact I got sick with a real bad ear infection. And so I had to write all that up and you know, turn all that in as well. But it's clear that I have not worked. And I didn't turn down a job because of the fact of my medical condition at that time.
Okay, well, you do have to turn up in the office. You're going to have to do that. This is not something you can do on the computer.
Right. Yes, ma'am. I'm aware of that, yeah. I'm
okay.
Going to go in the morning. Yes, ma'am. I'm going to go in the morning and keep pushing because my bills are due. I mean, it's the end of the month, and I have zero income, zero. I told them this. And they still, you know, taking their sweet time here in the office. So I don't
Yeah,
know.
Just don't lose your patience. Just don't lose your temper, lose your patience. Just be the sweet man that you are, Melvin.
Yes, ma'am, I will. Okay.
Okay. Thanks for calling, Melvin.
Okay, thank you all very much for that validation and reading.
Okie doke. Okay. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
He's one of my favorites. He's just the sweetest man ever.
What a nice guy.
He really is.
He really is. And he will get his coaching job in time. He really will.
Oh, and he does belong working with kids, but, you know, you have to eat while you're doing that stuff, too.
Oh,
so.
Don't know that.
Yeah, eating does come in handy. Okay, we've got Sharon here. Hi, Sharon. How are you doing today?
Hi, Barbara. How are you today?
Absolutely fabulous. How are you?
Wonderful. I'm hanging in there. Things are looking better.
Good.
I have an employment question also. You know, Barbara, I thought I was going to get this one job, but I didn't hear back from them this week. You know, I'm getting responses from my resumes. I really am. I just haven't landed a job yet. Do you see me landing a job? How's that?
Sharon?
I'm a
Sharon?
Drunk case. I'm right with Sharon, yeah.
Sharon, okay.
Okay,
Jen?
I do see you landing a job in the next, I'm going to say, 6 weeks. It's not the job that you actually think you're going to get. It's going to be something right off, what I would say, off the grid, off the sidelines. It's like, wow, didn't think I was going to get this one.
It's unbelievable. When you think you're going to get a job, you don't. But I'm sorry, I'll shut my mouth and listen. Sorry. My mind is going a million miles a minute. Go on. Sorry.
Okay, so you're going to be landing a job off the grid is what I get, and it's not what you think you're going to get. You're going to be glad you took it, though, because it's going to, not strain, challenge your talents and your abilities. And you're going to think that, gee, I can't do this, but you very, very well can. And that's what the new employer is going to recognize when they interview you. And
okay.
It's going to be like you're going for one position, but they're going to offer you something totally different. And you are going to excel at it. And I don't think it's going to be the kind of money that you think. It might be a bit less, but you're going to be bumped up really fast.
Good. Okay.
It's going to be lower wages. Oh, God, I'm getting tears with this one. Lower wages to begin with, but you get raises or an increment more rapidly than you would have in the other way. So I don't know what you do, but I'm getting it in sales or...
I'm a sales I'm an administrative, but it's in a sales office, investment sales, insurance sales. That's what it is.
Okay.
If that's where I go. But there's so many different avenues you can do in that type of business, I could get a totally different job, like you said, you know, like in a different department or something. I just have to let it happen, you know?
Yeah, you do.
And Miss Barbara, you're so sweet. Go on. Barbara, go on. You are.
Well, thank you.
You're my favorite. Okay, go on.
I would say that you do belong off the grid, and you need to have a lot of pokers in the fire. And I'm feeling, this is going to sound so silly, but I'm seeing three jobs that you're going to be working at. It feels like you take one that appears to be full time, and then you take two other little jobs that look like fun, and it's the fun jobs that are going to actually make the money for you in the long run. Just you know you see people who are just starting up or people who are, and this is you know around the August time frame. People that just need to have somebody who really knows what they're talking about different aspects of the field. And you're there and they say, look, could you help us for just a percentage or whatever? We can't pay you, but it will give you a percentage when money starts coming in. And you do this with two different companies, we're talking grassroots here. We're talking, you know, in the garage type stuff, you know.
Uh-huh.
And you find things that you believe in. And that give you joy, and it's exciting to be creative with people that are creative and just sincere and not out for big bucks and not out to, you know, kick ass or anything like that. They're just out there to get their product out on the market so that they can feel like they are in charge of their own lives. And what's going to happen is that I think two of these three jobs that I see are actually going to take off, and you're going to be on the ground floor, and these are the kind of people that really have a loyalty to the people that have, you know, helped them along the way. And so it's very exciting. So watch for that. You're going to, you know, it could be easily like you're standing in line at the grocery counter and you're talking on the phone and somebody said, oh, do you do this? You know, could you answer a question? I was in the grocery store not too long ago, and I was buying stuff for a dessert I was going to make, and I was approached by two women who wanted to come and eat whatever it was I was going to cook, and I gave them the recipe, and they've become new best friends. So
that's so cute. But Barbara, you do see me getting a base job, though, right?
I do, and it'll be a good job, but it'll be boring compared to the sideline stuff.
I know what you're saying. I need to pay my bills. I have a lot of side stuff I do. I do fundraising. Mm-hmm. But you know what, Barbara? When I called you 3 weeks ago, you said that there was a woman that was going to hire me. I never heard back from her.
Huh.
It was at a brokerage firm. It was 45 minutes away. It was a long drive. I haven't heard from her. That wasn't what I thought I was going to get.
But it's only a couple of weeks. I don't. I wouldn't call it quits on that. I mean, it's still, you know, if she comes up with a job, she does. But you keep looking. But I think that she still is going to come in with an offer for you. I'll stand by that one.
I know, but I have to say, you didn't know the time when you talked to me 3 weeks ago. I was the first person they interviewed. She said they still had to go through the whole protocol and interview everybody. Does that make sense? I know.
Yes, it does.
So did. it takes time in my field because I work in an office. You've got to go through three interviews and the drug test, the smoke test, the back. You know, it's just, it's a job, you know. But
yeah.
The bottom line is, you see me, I will have a steady job, though, by June, right?
Yes,
now,
you will.
Said 6 weeks. I know timing's hard to say. I know. Anything else?
No, that's about it. I think that once you get a job, then you'll have lots of questions. But until then, you're focused
I know.
On jobs.
I know. Well, you got to live. You got to make money to survive. You know what I'm not even survive. You know what I'm saying. Everything costs money.
It does. It does.
We all know that.
No. Advice is free, but you get what you pay for.
That's a good. You're right. Thank
no,
you, sweetie. Many
well,
blessings as usual.
Hang in there.
I'm plugging away. I know. Have a good day, okay?
You too.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Okay. Now, that was high energy.
I agree with you.
Okay. Well, you know, I've been there. I've had that kind of adrenaline pumping, you know, it's got to happen. It's got to happen soon.
Oh. No, but I was saying I agree with you about the when you said the two pokers in the fire and someone offering her something else, like, wow, is that ever right on? That's exactly it.
I think that'll be fun. That'll be the exciting part of it. You know, she'll have the mundane job, but it's the sideline stuff that's going to, you know, really sparkle for her. Okay, we got Deborah in, okay. Now, L.A. to me would say it's kind of, hi, Deborah. L.A. would say it's California, but are you in Louisiana or are you in L.A.?
Yes, I am. Louisiana.
Why doesn't, you know, L.A. is to me California. I'm sorry.
I've lived in both if it matters.
How can we
so
help?
Both applies. You know, it must be a workday question because I'm having the same issues.
Oh, cool. Well, not cool, but okay. So you're looking for a job too?
Well, or I was looking for the ones I had to change a bit, and they kind of were. And then it seemed like I got one situation wrong. I have three, like, part-time jobs, like vendor jobs as a salesperson, like the lady before. And exactly what she was saying, like it would shift into a different department, which seemed to be happening in March. And then seemed like it stopped. And I had an EFT guy tell me I was going to ruin it. He goes, oh, you're going to mess it up. And I said, no, I'm not. But I feel like maybe he planted a little seed there. But then one of the guys I was going to quit, well, it's two women and a man. And the man I was going to quit because I'm an empath, and he drained me.
Uh-huh.
But then I found all this compassion for him, and I feel bad. So I don't know about quitting him. But all three had different components, and they just all changed. And I felt like either I was wrong or did I mess them up, like that guy said. The EFT
no,
guy said, I mess it up. I'm going to mess it up, like I ruin it somehow.
No, you didn't mess anything up.
Okay, thank you.
I'm really sorry, but you just aren't qualified enough to mess it up.
Oh, thank you. Well, it really upset me. Then I thought, everything that's not coming in my life, is it because I'm messing it up, you know? Like,
No. If this is screwed up, and it probably is, it's at a much higher level than you, so don't worry about it.
Thank you.
No.
That makes me feel better.
Yeah, you know, you just don't have the power to screw it up.
Okay, good.
It does feel that there is a balance, and the balance happens in about the June time frame. So I don't want you to leave because, you know, it feels like things are going to be – things within the company appear to be moving around so that I don't think you'll even be working with the same people within the next 2 months, 3 months tops. So and as far as being drained, you have absolutely total control over whether you're drained or not. All you have to do is make sure that whatever comes your way, whatever – energy they send your way just passes on through. It, you don't hold it. And what's happening is you're feeling stuff coming in and you're holding it for some reason. You know, I can understand holding joy and holding exuberance and holding bliss. I mean, yeah, absolutely. Shut yourself out so you can, you know, keep that inside for a long time. But anxiety and stress, not so much. Let it flow through you. See it rolling off your back. Any kind of visualization you want. When you feel that energy is beginning to weigh heavy on you, take deep breaths and see the breaths go through your feet and into the ground and just go through you almost like a cleansing rain and just, you know, and while you've got a flow like that going, toss in what other garbage you've been gathering up that you've been holding on to and let it get washed away too. You're in total control here as far as what stays in your system or what is taken in and what is not. So it's, you know, they cannot drain you unless you allow it.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're wide open and you're not protecting yourself and you're not setting up mirrors or whatever you need to do, frankly, when I'm in a big crowd of people that that are of questionable energy, I usually, you know, see myself surrounded by mirrors all facing out.
Okay.
So that whatever, you know, comes my way just gets bounced back. And you know, if it's of a negative nature, it gets bounced back to the source. If it's a positive nature, it gets bounced back to the source. I mean, you know, if good people are sending good wishes, they should get them. And if bad people are sending bad thoughts or bad whatever, they should learn how to deal with them so they don't send them out. It's not my job to teach them, but I don't need to take in their garbage. I have enough of my own. And, you know...
Well, The one guy, I have two female bosses and one's a man. And the man is abrasive and he's I don't know, it's like he's trying to pick a fight or something. And he always catches me off guard. And I told him I was not available this weekend because he was playing some kind of mind games. But I still found him a really good team. And I think he realized what, you know, everything I said was the truth. Because he was a little messy. He was going around to people trying to find stuff out, and he didn't. And I told him, I wish you would have asked me rather than gone and gossip. Well, I heard the event went well, so I, just to be loving, I wanted to make sure he, you know, got the right people, and he did. But they said he was shaking the whole time. And that's the energy. I mean, I could put up mirrors and stuff, but when you're screaming at other people, I just wonder if there's just a time that it's just either I need to go ahead and just leave him, or I felt like he was going to fire me too. It was weird. It was just very.
His anxiety, his stress, his tension has nothing to do with you.
But even being in the room with somebody, even if it's not, even if it's not directed at me, it still feels bad. Do you know what I mean? It just feels.
Mm-hmm.
Bad. Like, he was almost like drowning and I couldn't save him. Like, if I would try, that's a good analogy. I feel like he's drowning and he's reaching for me and he's trying to pull me under.
Yeah, no, but that's his journey. And, you know, when stuff like that happens, the best visualization is kind of let it run off your back. It, you know, don't take it in. Don't take the anger in. Don't let it hit you. It's not yours. It's, you know, it's his anger. It's something in his life that has nothing to do with you. And you just happen to be a good whipping boy. And so
I'm tired of that though.
Well,
I'm tired of being everybody's whipping boy.
Then don't let them. You can listen because you kind of have to, but you don't need to be affected by it.
So you don't think I should quit?
No, I don't. I don't see you quitting. I see you standing up for yourself, and once he realizes that he can't make you uncomfortable, he'll just go and find somebody else to yell at, but it won't be you.
Well, then he'll probably fire me, wouldn't you think, and get another whipping boy?
Not if your events are going well.
I pulled out of it just because I knew that was too weak to do it with him.
I think you're there. I think you're there to find the strength. I think if you move to a different venue that you'll find the same situation until you find that
you're right.
Strength and that power within you. And I frankly, right. you have the power to do this. I mean, if you want to quit, go ahead, quit. You'll find the same situation come back at you.
This is the third time. It's the third time this has happened. It's getting less and less, and I'm speaking out for myself more and more. I'm just, I guess I just don't see why anybody has to treat anybody bad, and that's why I quit. It's not that I just, oh my gosh, it's just so,
yeah,
so aggravating.
If this is the third time you've run up against this, I think I would just stand your ground this time. Otherwise, you'll just get it again in another situation.
You're right.
I mean, it's and that doesn't mean you fight. That means you say, yeah, I'm sorry you feel that way, but it truly wasn't my fault or my issue or whatever, and if I can help straighten out or, you know, just stay calm. And
okay.
You know, I know you get sweaty palms, and I know you get heart palpitations, and I know you hyperventilate. I know all of that happens, but in spite of that, you have to learn that just by speaking up from yourself does not cause World War III. It means that it takes him by surprise, and he doesn't quite know what to say. And so long as you stay calm and firm, he can't do anything to you.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, don't let him scare you. He's insecure, he's frightened, and he's got lots going on in his life that you don't know about. And so he's taking it out on you, which is not appropriate. So long as you do your job and you do your job well, they can't fire you. You're doing your job well.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you so much for that. I feel like it's in different areas, probably even in my relationship, that it's just, I stood up for myself today, but it just, that even drains me, standing up for myself.
Well, don't be afraid of it because,
you know,
come on, put your bitch pants on. And you know, and I don't mean, you know, don't start fights and don't be nasty, but come on. You have to stand, you have to learn to take care of yourself. And once you do everything, you know, then there's another lesson, of course, but it's not this one. Jen, what are you getting?
Well, I'm getting the same thing. I'd like to know if this is the third time this has happened with this same guy or the
different. She's right. I leave a position and I get the same situation again. You know, there are variations of it, but yeah, no, I run into the same problem over and over.
Well, this
and I feel
is all I can...
I'm an empath, so it's really hard. Like, I know the guy's, I mean, I know, and I'm a little psychic. I know he's suicidal, and I do feel sorry for him, but then I feel like that gets my energy too, you know, because I know that they're going through a lot. But I feel like it's him or me sometimes. That's why I quit.
It's his journey. It's his contract. It's not yours.
Yeah.
Do you get that?
Yeah, and I saw another girl that did not, I told him not to use her because she's really bad, and she said the same thing I did, like, well, I'm busy that weekend, I can't do it, and I saw a sense of pride in her that I reflected back at me, and it wasn't pretty, you know? I was like, ouch. I did not like seeing a little slice of me in one somebody that is a so-called adversary. That's the way I treated him, with so much pride, because he wasn't, it was a big lesson.
Well, I think you can be compassionate and empathetic, but you can also be, you have to, in my opinion, I mean, I was bullied at work. I think we all have been at some time in our life.
Mm-hmm.
This short little man bullied me. And, you know, we are fearful of our jobs, and we all look at ourselves and say, why is this guy taking it out on me? And, I mean, it happens with guys, too. You know, someone's in a position of authority, and they use that authority over us. So we can either do an exit stage left and get out of there. We can look at them and say, gee, this isn't my trick, you know, he's obviously, or she's obviously, going through something bigger than we are, and we can try and be empathetic towards them. Or we can say, I am a person too, and I deserve better. I am worthy. I am doing my job to the very best of my ability, and I'm doing a darn great job, and I don't deserve this. And I can find a way around it. And I think that's what the universe, or I know that's what the universe and all that around you is trying to tell you. Who is past around you that plays the guitar? There's some guy that comes in and he's strumming a guitar and he's got a bird in his hand. You know?
I don't know.
Oh, Jen, a bird in the hand is worth two in the bush.
I know that. But, you know, and that's what I was showing. It's like you're an open book. He's reading an open book. You're as open as a book to be read. But there's also some guy, and he's strumming a guitar. And he's just...
Could it be my boyfriend's dad?
Yes, it could be.
James?
Jack?
I
get the name.
Maybe.
Jack. Anyhow, it begins with a J. Doesn't matter to me at this point in time. All he's doing is strumming a guitar, and it's the bird in the hand is worth two in the bush. Don't sell yourself short, Deborah. Really,
you mean that with his son?
I mean that with your job. And if you're selling yourself short with his son, don't sell yourself short anywhere.
Okay.
You don't sell yourself short anywhere. You're golden.
Thank you.
Why don't you realize that?
Childhood programming.
Hit the remote control. Hit the remote control and reprogram that channel, will you?
Yeah. Wow. Is it bad to be an open book?
No, it's not bad to be an open book. You just have to turn the page.
Okay, because I didn't know if that was good or bad. I mean, pretty much what you see is what you get with me, I think, you know. So I always thought that was a good policy, not
a
bad policy.
I think it's a good call, too. But if you let people, then they can manipulate you, and that's what you're allowing this guy at work to do, is manipulate you, and that's not a good thing. You're better than that.
Yeah, he didn't get away with it. The one thing I did realize that was kind of good is that I can plan an event, and I planned it just because I didn't want him to fall, you know, because he was my boss, and it went really well with, you know, he did follow my instructions, and I mean, I guess it's not my place to do it, but I did not want him to fall on his face, and he didn't because he listened to me, but I was shocked because I could put together an event, and it goes really, really well. So there was one thing I was proud, even though I wasn't part of it.
Well, you know? I think that's wonderful.
Yeah.
I think that's really good.
No, absolutely, and do understand that because you are so sensitive, of course you're gonna pick up on lots of different energies all over the place. If you're sitting down someplace, if you're at a desk or at a table and you want to close your field, you fold your hands and you cross your legs, and that closes your energetic field, and nothing can get in. And if something gets in, it's because you've let it.
Okay.
You have to understand you're in total control here. That you know, we have the capability of you know, closing our field, not letting anything hit us, not letting anything affect us, and affect or infect us. So it's your choice, totally. But
okay.
I think you've moved enough. I think it's time you take a stand, from what I can see, anyhow, and deal with this issue. And don't worry, there will always be another issue. You're not going to be out of issues, so don't worry.
I don't think so. I don't think so. But this one's a big one for me. It really is big.
Yeah, it goes back to childhood. But you can deal with this. You're a grown-up now. Come on.
Okay. I thought I already had, you know. I'm just really shocked it's back again. I'm like, oh, my gosh, not this one. No.
Yeah,
it's
well,
very hard for me to tell people to back up, you know. Back up.
Well, You don't even have to do that, you know. You just stand there and you look at them like they're an idiot. And so long as you say nothing, they start to babble, and then they look like the idiot. So, you know, it's just, you know, you just, silence is really golden, you know. When you don't speak, first of all, you learn a lot more. And when you don't put forth something in contention with someone else, there is no argument. There is no debate. You're just staring at them and listening.
Right.
And you know, when they're all done, you say, okay, and you move on.
Right.
You know, there are some people that arguing just doesn't work with because they aren't hearing anything other than their own voice. So it's okay. Let's move on.
Wow. Thank you guys so much.
You can do this.
Okay. Be a big girl.
Yes,
I'm trying
ma'am.
To be my best friend. It's hard sometimes.
I know.
Okay.
And I'm supposed to give you a diamond from the sky.
Oh, thank you so much. I was thinking about wearing smoky quartz to work from now on. I just haven't found the right piece for.
Well, do that then.
Well, okay. Or diamonds sound good too, but I was just looking at my price range.
Well,
you know,
shown a big diamond, so.
Yeah, you know, frankly, if you're going to have a stone of protection, make it be a good one. You know, a diamond is good.
Diamonds protect, really?
Well, actually, the stone will put out whatever kind of energy you want it to be honest with you.
Okay. I never knew that, though.
Is this 3-carat diamond a grounding stone? Oh, you betcha. Is this a healing stone?
Yes.
Oh, you betcha. Can it repel stuff? Yeah. Oh, yes. No, actually, you know, if you want grounding, hematite is good for that too. But frankly, I have stones that I just feel are good for me. They feel good for me, and I wear them. And if you want to look up what somebody says they mean, go ahead and do that too. But, you know, whatever you are attracted to is really the best stone for you.
Okay. Do you guys have a man in your office with you?
Who guys?
You, both of y'all, do you have a man in the control booth with you?
Oh, God, if there's a man here, I don't see him. Jen, how about you? Jen is in Canada, and I'm in Connecticut, so.
Because somebody keeps bleeping through and saying little comments, and I think I'm, like, getting clear audience or something. I just want to make sure it wasn't from y'all's side.
Well, I have a husband in spirit that was very talkative, so.
Yeah, like when we all laugh, he just said something like, yeah, you're right, or something like that in our conversations. He's been talking. It could be Jim again or James. But I'm going to sound like a nut right now. I've been having, like, messages pop up in my phone from nobody.
Oh, cool.
And my sister's like, please don't tell people. I'm like, no, I'm not going to really tell people, but after this guy left, I had a message that said, I forgive you. He forgave me, I guess, for not showing up to the event.
Oh, God.
And when he first arrived in town, though, I wouldn't talk to him. I had hi in a memo section of my phone.
Goodness.
I'm into some different territories now. It's going to get weird.
I can tell you that there is no man in our control booth. Because we don't have a control booth.
Are you kidding me?
Do you have a man in your control booth? I don't have any in mine.
Okay. I keep hearing a man's voice cut in on the line. Just little comments. Okay, there we go.
Well, I hate
the phone
to say
was
it,
ringing.
But I hate to say it, but you could have crossed wires, too.
Okay, all right. On my cell phone, too?
Yeah.
Okay.
I for almost 4 months, kept getting a wrong number. It was the nicest guy. And he had a girlfriend and he thought he was calling his girlfriend. I, you know, it was the wrong number, and he told me what he dialed, and I said, that's not what you got. And he said, oh, I have to apologize. And I said, send flowers. And he kept getting crossed at weird times. And he would finally say, oh, Barb, I'm so sorry. I was calling my girlfriend. And finally he said, you know, I'm having a great time talking to you. Could I have your real phone number? I said, I don't think so. You got a girlfriend.
Oh, my gosh.
It was cool for a while, but that does happen too. I'm not saying it's not spirit. I'm not saying it's not spirit, but I am saying before you go off on that tangent, you know, do make sure your wires aren't crossed.
Okay. Thank you so much. It was fun.
Thanks for calling. Bye bye now.
Bye.
You don't have any man in your booth, do you? I mean, I know you have a husband, but.
Well,
you
no,
have...
it's just me, but who's working with us today? Is that Chris or Jeannie?
No,
who is that?
There's actually nobody working with us right now.
Okay, well, that's really funny because someone came in and talked to me and it was a man.
Really? Because, no, Jeannie, her husband's sister had to go to the hospital and so she had to leave. So she's not here anymore. I mean, it may look like she's here, but trust me, she's not here.
Okay, well, someone is obviously here because they came in and talked.
Huh. Okay, well.
In your booth, so I've got no idea.
Don't have a booth. I don't have a booth.
Well,
I'm in my kitchen.
I'm in my little... my little room, my playroom, whatever room, and I heard planes and whatever going by, and I thought, is this funny or whatever, and I was trying to say something, and I PM'd you to ask a question because I couldn't hear anything, and all of a sudden, that's when I heard whatever, so I just thought, okay, it's all good. That's kind of cool.
Very cool. And Chris, if you have your taxes done, if you want to come in and finish the show out for Jeannie, that would be great. And I think you've got the codes and everything. This next lady is somebody that we have talked about, no, with a lot. Her name is Deanna. Hello, Deanna. Hi,
yeah.
Deanna. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. Can you hear me okay?
Yep. How are you doing?
I was just thinking maybe Jeannie's line is still live. You know.
No, I'm pretty sure she hanged up because she hung up. She's no longer in the queue. So her line is definitely not connected here.
You know, all the conversations this afternoon, not all of them, but at least the last two, I'm thinking they are empaths, and I know that I am. I wonder if you could give us some hints as to how to extricate ourselves from the energy of others when they seem to be pouncing on us. Not to feel, you know, their bad emotions, because I feel that too, and it really is a turnoff.
Jen, you want to take it and I'll come in at the end, or?
Sure. Well, you know, wow. Being an empath
you can discard the question if you like, you know.
No,
okay.
Being an empath is hard. You know, we can choose our friends, we can't choose our family, that kind of thing. I find it really difficult because being an empath, we're naturally, I think, compassionate people. We always want to help. We want to heal.
Participate
in someone else's pain or joy, and we pick it all up. But we also pick up the negative vibes. And we also are very easy to manipulate. because generally speaking, those that how do I phrase this? They can read us as well as we can read them. What we can do is put mirrors up around us, put a big bubble around us, like Glenda the Good Witch floated down in The Wizard of Oz in a big bubble. So I like to, for visualization's sake, when I'm teaching, is just say, picture that bubble, because most people have seen The Wizard of Oz and Glenda floating down in a bubble. Use that bubble as a form of protection against bad vibes, for safety, for whatever, because it's such a good tool. You know, put that bubble around you and don't let anything pierce the bubble. You know, other people have said use like a pointed energy force in the front and the back of you, like an arrow, if you will. I don't know. I think it's what works for one person may not work for another. We can, you know, cut cords. We can ask the angels or the archangels to help dispel different energies that are coming towards us. There's so many different tools.
The one about washing your hands or letting water close to your body, and that made a lot of sense, because if in effect we are electrical beings, they are getting sort of blended into our electricity, and it isn't ours. And then, of course, you're called oversensitive whenever you are an empath, and we are oversensitive by nature.
Well, I think we are. I don't know if we are oversensitive. I think we're highly sensitive.
Exactly.
How can we be oversensitive? I think we're highly sensitive beings. I think we operate at a higher sensitivity or a higher frequency than some other people do. You know, depending on what we're working with at the time. You know, you can take the energy field around you and you can wipe it away and wipe it out to the universe. We can pretend it's lava or smoke from a volcano and just dispel it back into the universe and shoot it out and let it go, release it through the tips of your fingers, the top of your head, the bottoms of your feet, different tools.
So we have to develop our imagery.
I think that's one of the ways. Barbara?
Yeah, and I think that, first of all, Patrick coined a term for what I did. He said I was a spiritual empath. And I think that anybody who has an empathic nature wants to be compassionate and wants to sort of solve everybody's problems and help everybody through everything. And empaths are very susceptible to people, quote-unquote, psychic vampires. And that doesn't mean they're sucking blood. They're just sucking energy. But they only suck it if you let them. And I think that's one of the things that everybody has to understand. You can just say to your head, this isn't my problem, this isn't my issue, I'm not going to take it on. And once you've made a declaration like that, you don't take it on. It's sort of on a spiritual level, by speaking in your head, you bring the communication into the consciousness so that you're not taking it on. You can say, I'm so sorry, and I really, you know, hope things are going to get better, and I know you're going to do better, and yada, yada, yada. But you don't let it touch you. You don't let it come into your field. And sometimes...
Do you remember the book, The Celestine Prophecy, when it deals with that?
Yes.
Because it was talking about, you know, people entering our energy field. I read it, I understood it, but I'm still unable to do that. I have a question.
Sure.
Afterward. Financially, I'm doing so, so poorly right now, way beyond poor. And I was wondering if you see a breakthrough and how soon before a breakthrough comes. Because being an empath and being so highly sensitive, I tend to get extremely scattered in my focus. And
June, money's coming in above and beyond what you anticipate in June.
Thank you.
That was easy.
Well, that is good. That's 4 weeks away, but that five. But that is good. That is good.
Yeah, and as far as the energy goes, you really have to just tell the universe what you will and will not accept. And lots of times it's sort of like, you know, all right, guys, I'm going to bed and I need you to just leave me alone. And they do. And, you know, it's sort of like, actually, I find that I hear the voices, but I don't hear the voices. And it's really very depressing, to be honest with you. You know, it's sort of like, okay, I got it. I understand what's going on here, but did anybody else just get bounced out of the chat room? Because I did.
I'm not sitting next to the computer right now.
Oh, okay. I'll just...
No, I'm still in it, Barbara. But there's huge gaps in the chat room, which is really strange.
Well, it's par for the course. So I can't even connect to the internet anymore. Lucky I still... I don't know, does... Chris, are you in the are you in? I don't see her on the.
Here I am.
Okay,
I'm here.
Okay,
and the blank spots are because they're because people have to change their font or something. Raven, I see your wave and. I'll talk to Raven in the chat. It could just be the size of font or they put a space after their message. You know what I mean? Anyway, I'm here. Chat room is here. Everybody's here except you, Barbara. And I didn't do it.
Okay.
Jeannie's still in the chat room, but, you know, her ghost of Jeannie is still in the chat room.
It's Jeannie's ghost.
I'm just in there as me. Yeah, Jeannie's ghost bumped you out. She's trying to take over, really.
Well, she's always trying to take over,
there,
you know.
Chris.
She's always wanted to have the show for her own.
Don't tell me I'm not there. I know that I'm there. I'm there. Here I am.
I see you.
Anyway, I'm going to go away now. Talk to you later. Peace out.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, Deanna. Are you still there?
Hey, yes, I am. I'm just not interrupting others, that's all.
Okay. No, every now and then... Every now and then, everything goes crazy, which is kind of interesting. And but as far as
we have the eclipse tomorrow.
Oh, that's true. That's true. Well, I would say that most probably, you know, getting back to psychic vampires, it really is pretty. You can accept stuff or you can negate it. So it's really important for you to just, you know, let the universe know what you will and will not take. I tell them to leave me alone at night if I'm watching TV, if I'm in the middle of something. You know, I'll hear the voices sort of starting burbling. It's like they're gossiping, and it's like either talk out loud or go away. And some people are so reverent about the other side that they, you know, they pray to it and they ask kindly and you know, they're just like us. So talk to them. And if you want protection, if you want them to prevent things from happening or getting through at a certain period of time or whatever, just say, you know, I'm not taking this on, so take it elsewhere. I mean, I declared a long time ago that I wasn't going to pay any more karmic debt, you know, from past lives anymore, to roll it over to the next lifetime because I was done.
Yeah,
just roll it over. I'll never know what hit me next time. So, you know, it's sort of like a rollover with a credit card. But you know, enough. I'm not going to play that game anymore. So you know, I do think that you should do something similar to that if you possibly can.
set the intention. Okay, my intention now is to ask Jen what she picks up coming up for me, because it's a lot of things that are coming up and I need to get everything ready for it.
What I pick up for you coming up? You're not working right now, you said.
Well, I'm on duty, but there is no work. I do work on the phone lately. And I do a lot of work with the unemployment appeals, just like Melvin was saying. And again, I think Melvin should go in person and take a letter explaining and have them put it into his file, because that's one of the things that they require, even though it is a different state, that's pretty much uniform.
Oh.
But there hasn't been any work the last 2-3 weeks. I don't know if it's due to spring break or what it is or the change of weather, but I have not been getting the work, and I'm definitely in a bad situation right now.
Well, I feel that you're going to be getting a job or working in the next, I wanted to say 6 months, but that sounds really strange. So I get the number 6, and it says 6 months to me. I'm getting a pain over my right eye, and I'm not sure why that is. So I don't know if you've got a headache right now.
No. No, but my eyes have been fuzzier lately. I attribute that to the computer, you know, being a lot on the computer.
Oh, so you've been working on the computer a lot. Okay. So that makes total sense. So you've got a lot of eye strain there. What are you doing health-wise? I don't know where
I'm
getting this.
Nothing except eating, you know, as healthily as I can. And that's pretty much it.
Have you been watching your diet?
I always watch my diet. I don't give in to excess. I'm not big on sugars. But my sugar is probably bad right now anyhow. I'm just sort of like in a paralyzed state at this point, because everything is coming up in the near future, a change of home and everything else, and it's very scary. But I'm ready to do what Barbara says, the phoenix. I don't know what you call it usually, Barbara. It doesn't come to mind, but phoenix rising energy.
That's it.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I'd like you to really watch your diet is what I'm getting, or your sugar levels, because I'm getting a pain on my right side, like where your pancreas is. So watch your sugar intake, please. And I'm also getting a pain in my right shoulder. So get out and I don't know if you do a lot of walking or do some exercise, but I'd like you to get out and get some exercise. Get some vitamin D, sunshine.
Right.
Okay,
yeah.
And things will start to flow.
I do have vitamin D,
and
I'll make it a point. Yeah, please and thank you, definitely. But I will definitely ingest it, consume it more than I have. I'm just watching it sit on the shelf right now.
No, not ingest it. Go outside and get it.
Oh, sure. Yeah, definitely. No, I do that often enough. I'm just scared, and being scared sort of drains you of all the right minerals.
Yeah, it does. And, you know, change your fear into anticipation, and then step into desire, and it'll all come your way.
Great advice.
I will. I agree, and I've sort of been doing that the last 2 weeks or so, and it's brought me out of the heavy burden, you know, situation I felt in before. But yes, I'm trying to step into anticipation and meet it with joy, meet the change
Perfect.
With joy.
Perfect.
I appreciate your both your readings, and the best you and Barbara. One thing, there's another Patrick Cook on Blog Talk. I know he doesn't do what Patrick used to do. And I'll also send you a poem that I read yesterday about, you know, life or death being a blink away. And then you can share with your listeners if you'd like.
Thank you very
something
much.
Something that was posted by, it was posted by Jethro, actually, and I picked it up, and it's really beautiful. So it's too long to put on the chat room.
Okay, I look forward to getting it. Thank you.
Thank you both.
Bye-bye now.
Have a blessed day.
Bye. Blessings to you.
Okay, now we've got another cool lady. Hi, Queen. How are you doing today?
I'm extremely grateful and glad to be able to connect with you both again today. How are you both doing?
Wonderfully well. Aside from, I don't know what's happening with my chat room, but if Chris is there, I know that if nothing else, it's lively.
She knows her way around the Blog Talk arena. She's number one champion, from what I can tell.
I would say so. I would definitely say so. How can we help today?
The last time I spoke to both of you all, we talked about my writing. And when you you mentioned you were talking about your writing, it triggered that I wanted to ask you about various techniques that I might use for my writing. I have begun. I have employed some things. I picked up ideas from various places. And I also want to ask you about your spirit circle. Is that going on? If it is, how do I partake of that experience?
Oh, spirit circle is definitely going to be, it has not started yet, and certainly once we get the chat room up and going, and Bear says that it will be up and going by the end of the month, which I think is sometime this week. I think when she said that, she didn't realize it was so close, but I'm hopeful that in May that I will start putting up at least maybe even a weekly spirit circle on my website. And certainly I will put it on Facebook, and I will talk about it on my radio show and Chris's radio show and stuff like that. So it will be obvious when it is functional. So don't worry about that.
Sounds good. I look forward to experiencing that again. It's been many, many moons and suns since I've been in that vibration, and I enjoy it.
Oh, me too. But as far as your writing goes, you know, I strongly think that everyone has an intellectual voice and a spirit voice. And what you want to do is bore your intellectual voice so that it takes a nap so your spirit voice can come out. And that means don't think so much about what you're doing. Don't try to analyze it. Don't try to organize it. Just let material flow from you at different times of the day and night, and find where you are most comfortable with allowing energy to flow through you. And if it's your spirit voice talking, you'll be able to tell, because it will be of a different quality than your intellectual, your conscious voice. And that's the material you want to share with people, because that's where the magic lies. Jen, you know, you probably have some thoughts on this too.
Jen is busy taking care of dogs for a second, so just please stand by. Please stand by. She's back.
Do you have any thoughts on this?
I was only half listening because, you know, when you flattered me, my head went all big and swollen, and I all like went. I had to run to the mirror to look at my greatness and everything. I'm kidding. I was busy. I was busy tracking down Jen, and so Jen's back.
Did I make a mistake and flatter her?
You did make a mistake and flatter her. She's got a little red face in the chat room. I did. The dog, I don't know what happened. Again, with this darn dog, he started whining like heck, and I thought, if I don't let him out, I'm going to have a problem. But what I did see, and Barbara, it goes on you, is a cat in my house, and I don't have a cat, a live one. I haven't had one for ages, and I think
what
you and I talked
it?
To... It would. I think it was your cat.
My Smudge.
Oh. I've actually got a cat that patrols our property, a cat in spirit that wanders our property, but I haven't seen him for a while. But I was sitting here and I did see him, and I thought, what are you doing here? And I thought, of course you're here. Barbara's here. But and then this our big old English sheepdog started creating a big fuss, and I didn't know if it was because of the cat or if because he wanted, seriously wanted out. And so I thought I'd better, on the better part of discretion, let him out, because I really don't want to clean up a mess from an old English sheepdog.
No.
Let me tell you.
Oh, no, that's not a little mess. That's a big mess. We were talking about how do you get into that zone where the energy flows perfectly, you know, as far as writing goes?
As far as writing goes, wow.
Yeah.
I get up early in the morning, and I find early mornings are good for me. And I think... And what I'm told spiritually is that, you know, it just is when, this sounds so stupid, when everything aligns and you know, you absolutely know. So ask those that have gone before to help you out. Ask your angels, ask your ancestors, ask your guides to help you, and just sit down and type what you get. If it isn't any good, it isn't any good. Is it something you can work with? Possibly. Then keep it. And if it's not, then, you know, you've always got your delete and your recycle bin. You will know when it's good and what it's supposed to be. You know, we all have the capabilities. I couldn't paint or draw for anything. I'm a good writer. I do know that. And that's because I've got the capabilities because of my guides and those that have gone before. And
okay.
It's just getting in the zone. And they will help you. You know, I think we talked about that before, didn't we?
Mm-hmm.
Queen?
If we did, it obviously it left my memory bank, which is why I needed to revisit it. I don't think we did, though, on that extent. But, I mean, it makes sense to go to Source and the other aspects of Source, and it makes sense. I will do that more consciously and, you know, allow it to flow in
that way.
Yeah,
get out of your own way, too.
Oh, perfect. That's exactly it. Yeah, get out of your head.
Yeah. I mean, in the past, way before I actually learned how to channel, I would, you know, I'm going to write a book. Well, let me see. I have to get the table of contents down, and I have to list the chapters, and I have to have an outline, and I have to have, you know, beginning paragraphs, and I have to have all of this stuff. And that's not how you deal with magic. With magic, you just sort of step back and let it happen. And you can tell when an author, I can't remember what the book was, but I remember I was reading a book, and I knew that the author had a love affair with words. And it was such a pleasure to just, you know, it was almost like eating dessert reading this book. And I don't even know what the story was. I just know that the words were so pretty. I didn't care. But it's sort of a matter of don't be so intellectual about it that you dampen out and that you shut out the spiritual, because you want to bring the spiritual into it. If you're writing a how-to book or a writing for dummy book or whatever. It doesn't matter what you're writing. If you let spirit do it, it will have magic. It will have energy. It will have a life of its own, and it will attract people to it.
The
book that Patrick published for me, The Whispers of Spiritual Wisdom, I never, I mean, I can't write poetry. It never occurred to me that anybody would be interested in that poetry. To me, it was just something that happened, and I collected them because I thought, wow, isn't that interesting? Because I don't normally write poetry, and here's all these poems. And when he said he wanted to publish them, I said, don't be ridiculous. That's a waste of paper. And he kept at it until, you know, I said, okay, but you got to put a spiritual blurb in there too. And it's a very sweet book. You know, is it going to win a Pulitzer Prize or anything like that? No, but it's a sweet book. And it's all spiritual stuff. It has nothing to do with the mundane reality. None of it was written with any sort of, you know, I have to have this kind of rhythm to it or not. It's free verse, and people actually seem to like it, which, you know, surprised the daylights out of me. So don't go at it intellectually. In other words, let spirit help you craft it.
Mm-hmm. You know, I will. So be it. That's the way it is coming forward. I didn't even realize that Jen was an author until now. So that my broaching the subject with both of you, knowing that you've gone down that road and actually published and probably been successful to some degree with the writing, is, you know, giving me clarity and more power in terms of knowing that I'm pulling in the energy from the right sources, because she said, go to those who have gone before me. And here I am. And thank you very much, both of you.
Thanks for calling.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
You're welcome.
Barbara, I have to ask this question. Who has something burning on the stove? Please, everyone, check your stoves. Or did someone just burn something? We all know how I am.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, Peanut Butter Barbara.
Ah. I looked for that song. I like peanut butter, crunchy peanut. Oh. You know, I tried to find that song. I really did. I could find it, but I didn't know how to download it. My stove is off.
Okay. No, I am smelling something is burning. It's a stove or an oven. Weird, eh?
Huh.
And it's really got me concerned. So don't know if someone burnt something last night or this morning or wherever you are for dinner, lunch.
Does it have to be literal, or could they be overcooking an idea?
No, it would be... maybe it's a, no, it has to be, I taste it, I smell it. It's the acrid smell.
Acrid. burned rice?
I never should have shared that. I know.
That was the chat room.
Oh, mum burned rice. Oh, okay. Okay. Oh. Oh, good. Oh, burned rice. That would be it. Okay.
We've had
rice. You turn on the rice pot without putting water in it, Boatman. That's how you burn rice.
or not enough water.
That's right. And that's why you use Chris, the rice cooker, I turned it on last night with no water in it.
Oh, God. Okay, we've got time for one more. We've got Laura. Hi, Laura. How is it going today?
It's going good. I thought it might be me because I just turned on my toaster oven, but I went and checked. It's not burning.
Oh, well, we're glad of that. How can we help today?
Do you see anything in romance coming my way this year or next year?
Go ahead.
What are you laughing at? Oh, my God.
Yes, I do.
And that causes you to laugh?
Oh, it's what they said to me. Pull up your pants.
Now, were they talking to her or you?
Her.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you yeah. Never heard that before. So I don't know who is, did you have I'm going to say godfather or grand, no, it's a godfather, close uncle. Not really uncle, but a close family friend that you called uncle that has gone to, he's died, passed away.
I have a lot of uncles that have passed over. Could be, are you getting a name or a description of what he looked like?
This guy's got a balding head. He said his hairline goes quite far back.
My dad was bald.
Did he have a good sense of humor?
Oh, yeah. He used to pull tricks on all his friends, jokes. He was a real jokester.
Are you a dad? Well, it's your dad and one of his friends because he's now brought your dad through. But the guy that brought your dad through was one of his best friends.
Oh, my God, that could be mush. Could be mush.
Yeah,
that
I
was
guess
his
it is.
Name. I think Alfred was his real name, but we all called him mush.
Well, he was telling you to pull up your pants when you asked if you're going to be meeting someone this year.
Oh, my God, they must all be in cahoots together. I could just, all the best friends are passed over now. I'm sure
yeah.
of it. There was a group of them that would always go to parties together. They were all best friends for years and years, ever since I was little.
And one of them wore suspenders. One of them wore suspenders, and he's snapping his suspenders.
Oh, I don't know who that would be.
And he's got a hanky out, like wiping his nose, so it's a grandfather or something of that time. Because
my grandfather wore suspenders.
Okay, and he's wiping his nose with a hanky. He's laughing so hard. They find this a big joke on you because you always, I don't know if you always ask this question because no one always does anything, but you've been thinking about it quite a bit. No, you're not going to be left alone. You're going to find someone or someone is... More to the point is that they're going to be put in place for you, and you're going to be walking in fields of clover. Wow, you guys are funny. And they show me this picture I've got, and it says family, a household sharing common values, goals, and love for each other is what they're sending you.
I'm getting that you have created a foundation for a good relationship, finally, and that there are two applicants coming in, both of which are very viable. Actually having a relationship in place, yada yada yada, is going to be by February, but certainly these guys are going to come in before then. So yeah, there is a relationship coming, but you're not allowed to choose between these two. You have to wait and see how they live up to the expectations that you have for a perfect relationship. So there are two coming in. They're both very nice. You're attracted to both of them, but you can't choose. You have to let the universe do that for you.
So is it going to be, though, one of those two, one of them, or, because it sounded like I wasn't allowed, is it that I have to practice with two people before I get the relationship with a third individual?
No, I must tell you, you have practiced quite enough. No, you
don't
just
say it like that, Barb. That's really
no,
not true.
You know, these two are absolutely, they will become your best friends. One of them will be a soulmate, and the other will continue to be a best friend. You have cool people coming in here. I don't know which one is the soulmate and which one is the best friend. And you're not allowed to pick, because I swear to you, if you pick, you'll pick the wrong one. Even if you know you will pick the wrong one, you'll still pick the wrong one.
So
no
then,
matter which
I don't understand, though. If I'm not allowed to pick, then how does it happen? How does it get?
Because
how does one get picked if I don't do it?
Because they'll pick you. You won't pick them.
Oh, so I'm going to get rejected by one of them is what you're telling
no,
me.
No, you won't get
no,
rejected.
I'm not. No, I didn't say that at all. I said both of these are going to be good friends.
Yeah,
one of them will eventually say, I want to take this further.
Oh.
Let
okay,
it
so
happen.
Then I'm supposed to know then if he wants to take it further, then that's the universe picking him for me?
Well, you know, you have to be attracted to him. I mean, I'm not saying just because, you know, I do feel that both of these guys you'll be attracted to. You'll go through the, oh, this one has this and this one has it. And it means wait and see which one wants you before you invest yourself heavily in anybody.
I agree with that. But they're not giving you a clue who that person is?
No, if you knew who it was, you'd be off and running and you'd probably scare them both off.
Yeah, I probably would.
Yeah, you would.
Well, Barb, you told me last time to go buy new underwear, so I did that yesterday.
Oh, good. You are prepared.
So why did you ask about your relationship this time, and I get pull your pants up? So you bought new underwear, and now you're being told to pull your pants up. Come on.
I'm trying to put it out there to the universe that I'm ready.
Okay, know you're ready.
Oh, yeah. Everybody knows you're ready.
Oh, God.
So now the universe is going to tell you which one of the two. So you just, you know, play it cool.
Okay, I can do that. Do we have a timeline or anything
ideal-wise? Wait. Did your nose just sprout 5 inches? You said you could be patient?
Well, no. I said I could play it cool.
Oh, you're so full of it.
Okay, I'm going to give you a song just a sec. I have to get the name of it.
I can just see my dad and all his friends. You're probably all planning this together.
Uh-huh. Walking on Sunshine.
Oh, that's a cool song.
Katrina and the Waves. Okay.
Cool.
Just remember what?
Katrina and
Pardon
the Wave, is that the name of the song? Is that the
no,
name of the group?
That's the name of the group, Katrina and the Waves, and the song is Walking on Sunshine.
Oh, I know that song.
And that's the song they're sending to you.
Aw, thank you. That's so nice. Barb, are you guys picking up a time, like month, or is it this year or next year?
Wow, you said you could be cool with this, didn't you?
I can be cool. I just want to know when I have to be cool, at what time and what date I have to be cool for.
Start now. Be cool now.
All right. Well,
all right.
I'm getting ready. I'm preparing myself, so.
Okay, you get cool. Good idea. Bye now.
Thank you. Bye.
Oh, God. Thank you, Jen. This was so much fun. You're always so much fun to play with.
Oh, it's so much fun to play with you. I always have a great time. And I honestly can't thank you enough for stepping into my life and helping me out and giving me a kick in the pants and just making it so much, I don't know, fun, just really. Oh, here comes the dog that I had to let out. I know, it's someone new, and you can't even see them, but you know they're here. And
well, I think I have you scheduled for next month, and if I don't, we'll have to make a play date for next month, too.
I think you do, but I don't know when. I know I've got it written down somewhere.
I don't either. Chris keeps asking me who's on next and stuff like that, and I never remember. Once I get people booked, I turn up and hope. But I don't have a show on Wednesday. I have to get ready to go to Nashville, so I'm not going to be on Wednesday. But I will be back in 2 weeks from today. So everybody, you know, go visit other shows and meet new people.
Well, safe journeys to you. I know you'll have a fantastic time.
I will. I get to play with my grandchildren. Absolutely, I will. And I will be talking to you soon. Thank you again. You have been wonderful. Thank you, Chris, for jumping in and helping out here. And thank you, chat room, and everybody who called in. It's been a lovely day. And I will. And don't forget to join in on Chris's show, 10 to 12 o'clock. Tonight, Eastern Standard Time. Okay, take care. Bye-bye, Jen.
Bye.